This podcast is brought to you by Todd Pennington with Columbus, Ohio-based Revolution Mortgage. Revolution Mortgage is the proud sponsor of the Browns Huddle podcast. If you're looking to purchase a new home or get out of renting, now is the time with historically low rates and fast closings. Todd can get you in your dream home in no time. Contact Todd Pennington at 614-390-9520 or visit revolutionmortgage.com/T Pennington for more info. Revolution Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS ID 1686046. Seriously, everyone, give Todd a call. He'll take great care of you. This podcast is part of the Zedia Network. That's media with a Z. For more information on the Zedia Network, you can check them out on Twitter at Zedia Network. Now to the show. And welcome to the Browns Huddle podcast. We are part of the Zedia Network. That's media spelled with a Z. I am your humble host, Jason Hand. Check out this and all of past episodes on the Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also do me a favor. The biggest compliment you can give me is hit the like button or the follow button on the podcast that you're listening to now. And when you do that, it'll let me know to notify you every time a new episode drops. So I would definitely appreciate any help there. We have a great lineup for you today for the show. We have Jeff Risden. He is going to join us in a little bit. Jeff is the managing editor for the Browns Wire and the Lions Wire. Jeff will give us some insight on our current Browns roster and also what we can expect from some of the young talents that we've acquired this offseason. So that's going to be an awesome part of our show. But first, I have special guest Andrew Zolden. Andrew is co-host of Drive the Lane podcast, and he's also the owner and CEO of the Zedia Network. Zedia Network is part of, the Browns Huddle podcast is part of the Zedia Network. So I'm excited, man. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. It's an honor. I think this is appearance number two on the Browns Huddle pod for me. So the second of many, we'll say.
Absolutely. Well, I want to start off by just saying the listeners have already heard this, but man, we have a sponsor now.
We do. I've been working hard, got a couple sponsors, you know. This guy, Todd Pennington, he wanted to do, you know, our Ohio package, which is real cool. So for any of you listeners out there, if you have a product, if you're in Ohio, you can purchase the Zedia Network Ohio package, which gets you four shows. I'm sure we'll talk about that shows a little bit. But yeah, our sponsor, Todd Pennington with Revolution Mortgage, he's the guy. Hit him up. He'll take care of you. So yeah, we're sponsored.
Well, this is kind of what happens when a podcast like the Browns Huddle joins the network. You know, we get awesome sponsors, we get guests, multiple plugs on the show for, you know, on different outlets. Plus, you know, you're always, Andrew, you're so open to showing me how to improve, because a lot of people know I'm really new at this, but I'm having a lot of fun. So there's a lot of perks with joining a network like Zedia Network.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a lot of perks with adding your show. You know, you got a lot of followers, which is huge for the network, for the company, for your show as well. So it was a no-brainer decision for both of us on both ends, and it's working out pretty well so far. I made a promise to you that I'll get you some Browns players on the show, and that's a promise I'm going to keep. Shortly, we'll get you some players, former players, stuff like that. So stay on the lookout, Browns Huddle listeners, because we got some fans, or we got some players coming soon, and big-time fans coming soon. Hint, hint, wink, wink to your next episode.
I've listened to a lot of other podcasts on the network, and there's been some exciting guests so far. What are some of the guests that we've had on other shows?
Yeah, well, Evan Turner came on my show, Drive the Lane, NBA player from Chicago, played at Ohio State. I'm sure the listeners are familiar. He was a big time guest. Billy Price from Ohio State, starting lineman / backup lineman for the Bengals, went on the Bengals show. Joshua Perry had Tyvis Powell, former Ohio State player, and coming out today as well. He's got Urban Meyer, which is pretty cool. Urban's making an appearance on another one of the shows this week, but I won't leak that yet. But yeah, we've had a lot of cool analysts. You've talked to a couple people. You know, the Bengals show's talked to a couple people. So Nicole Arbach from The Athletic, she went on the Joshua Perry show. So a lot of analysts, reporters, stuff like that. So really the best content out there is coming from Zedia.
There's no question about that. I've had a couple great guests because of the Zedia Network. And as you mentioned, you did the wink, wink. I have another special guest this week that I'm excited about. But yeah, in the past, we have Jeff Risden, which you're about to hear. He gives great insight, and you actually brought that guest to the show. And then before we interviewed Jordan Zerm with the checkdown. And that guy was awesome, man. It was I forget which episode that was, but I think that was two or three episodes ago.
Yeah, I think that was your first episode with Zedia, if I remember correctly, which was pretty cool to get you that guest right away. And I know you're working on some guests behind the scenes, so I'm excited to see who you get as well.
We are always working on guests behind the scenes. So if you haven't gathered already, if you have a podcast – and you're thinking about joining a network, this is why you want to join a network, because we're all linked together. We're working together just to make all the shows better than what they would be just doing it on your own. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that completely. We all feed off each other, and you'll see that more as, you know, the college football season really starts and the NFL season. And, you know, we have an MLB show. Jason, we want to get you on there to talk some Indians here pretty soon. So we have a lot of synergy, and we can really feed off each other, and that'll be a little more prevalent even more as football season starts, because I know for a fact that, you know, Frank with the Brown or with the Bengals show is going to want to have you on, and you absolutely should have Frank on to talk Bengals, which is week two, which we'll get into whether we think that's going to be a win or not, but that's a whole different part of this episode.
Well, we are 2 weeks away, buddy. 2 weeks away from kickoff. We've been talking this offseason a lot about what to expect and where we're at as a football team. And man, we're 2 weeks away. How do you feel about that?
I said this earlier off the record. I'm not confident. I am not. Last year, I thought we were going to get 10 wins. This year, I'll see what my kind of record is after we do our little segment, but I'm not confident. I am excited. I'm definitely excited, but I'm just not confident. And I'll kind of give my reasons why, but we also have a really tough schedule, and it's tough when you we'll dive into it, but I'll say this. It's a tough schedule because I think the division has potential to be the best it's ever been, besides that year when I think Ravens were the division winner, and the two wild cards were Bengals Steelers. So that was obviously a crazy year. But I think the division is really, really good this year, which when six of your games are in a good division, that's a tough start right there.
Yeah, the AFC North is probably one of the best divisions in all of football. And it's just getting better. You know, the Bengals are probably at the basement. They took our spot there, but even they're improving. I mean, they just drafted Joe Burrow, which I think he's going to be a great quarterback. We'll see. But yeah, this division is definitely getting tougher. And to your point, playing six games in a tough division is a challenge in itself.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. What I want to do, we're 2 weeks away from the season. I wanted to spend this time with you to kind of dive into our schedule and give our game-by-game predictions of each game, so that way we can predict where the Browns will finish up in 2020. So what I thought we'd do is, snake through the draft. I'm going to let you start, and then I'll start. And if you have any opinion on the game itself as to why you think the Browns will win or lose that game, feel free to put that in there. So we'll go ahead and start with, you know, we kick off September the 13th at Ravens. The Ravens finished 14-2 last year. They're led by Lamar Jackson. They got talent all over that roster. Where do you think will happen that game?
All right. Well, I'm going to say this. Okay. I think that the second Kevin Stefanski took the job, him and the defensive coordinator, the whole staff, they had this game circled, because how are you going to stop the Ravens? How are you going to stop the division winner? If you want to win the division, you have to beat the last year's division winner. And they were best team in the league, not just the best team in the division. I'm a big-time gambler. I can promise you that I'm going to have some cash on Browns money line week one, but I think it's a loss. I think they start a season. I think they start the season with a loss. What might help them is I'm pretty sure no fans at the game, which is going to be weird. So kind of every prediction we give is kind of unknown with how the fans will make an impact. But, you know, if everything was normal, I think it's a no-brainer to take the Ravens, but we'll see what happens. But for the purpose of us doing the win-loss record, that's a loss week one.
I am with you on that. I also have a loss, and only because it's in Baltimore. Baltimore's a tough place to play. You'd mentioned there's probably going to be no fans in the stands, so you can take that out of the equation. But Lamar Jackson, we haven't figured out a way to stop him. So until we do so, I'm going to say, especially it being in Baltimore, that's going to be a loss. So we're both in agreement there that Browns will open up 0-1 in the 2020 season, which is no strange thing to say. I mean, we don't win a whole lot the first game, whether it be at home or on the road. No. All right, so the good news is we're going to week two. It's in Cleveland, Thursday night football. Gotta love it. It's against the Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow, rookie. I'm going to go ahead and start this. I'm going to say we come back with a win there. So Thursday night football in Cleveland, the Browns are going to pull out the victory. I don't think it's going to be close. I think that the front defensive line is going to give Burrow all sorts of troubles. He's going to make mistakes like rookies do, and I think the Browns come out with a victory over the Bengals in week two.
I have to agree with you. I think they win this one. Burrow's first primetime game probably doesn't – I mean, he – primetime Joe, he's good. We know he's good. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do. A win for him in this game, primetime week two, would do, like, wonders for his confidence, I think. So, for Bengals fans, they're probably really hoping he gets that win under his belt. But I'm going to go ahead and give the Browns a win for that one, week two. Agree with you that they're going to get to the quarterback a lot. I've been kind of saying this a little bit. I'd rather go 4-12 and have an exciting offense than go like 6-10 or 7-9 and not make the playoffs, but we're like balanced, you know, like an exciting 4-12 season where you're confident in the offense for the following season is better than like a 7-12, you know, because you get a better draft pick. It's fun and exciting in every game, but I think this is a win, and that's one of the, you know, potential 4-6 games that I think they'll end up with.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bengals are where we were at 2 years ago when we drafted Baker. He's entering into his third year, so that's just where they're at. I mean, not that they're a bad football team, but they're not to where we are now, and I just think we'll handle them pretty decisively. So we're both in agreement there. We both get the W. The Browns get the W week two. Moving to week three, we stay at home against the Washington football team. The Washington football team was 3-13 last year. I don't know who their quarterback is. I know Dwayne Haskins will be the future, but Alex Smith, they're saying he's ready to play football. So I think they have a quarterback challenge competition there. With all that said and done, I just don't think the Washington football team, especially in Cleveland, can stand up to the Browns. I give the Browns the W there.
Yeah, so they're the Washington football team for a reason, because they have a bunch of Buckeyes on the team. Terry McLaurin, Dwayne Haskins, Chase Young. There's actually a cool shirt on the Zedia Network shop, the Washington Buckeyes. There's also a cool Baker Odell shirt. Go to ZDNetwork.com, click shop, use promo code HUDDLE for 10% off your entire order. But I think the Browns win that game also.
Good swag, so I think I don't know if the listeners have seen it, but yeah, the gear that you have on the Zedia Network is pretty sweet.
Yeah, we got some cool stuff coming too. Even cooler. But I think that's a W, and I think my record from this is gonna probably show a little better than what I think will actually happen in the season for the Browns, because I think they'll lose a couple of games that they should win because they are the Browns. So I think my record will be up closer to 10 wins, but my expectations are down in the 6-7 range. But I think this is a win, and they start the year 2-1.
All right, that's great. And I actually think I took your spot, so I apologize about that. You were supposed to start that.
No worries.
All right, so the furthest west we go in the Browns' schedule is up next. Week 4 at Cowboys. We don't go to California. We don't go to Seattle, Arizona. I think this bodes well for the Browns travel-wise, especially with COVID, that we don't have to travel. Man, these 4 o'clock games on the West Coast just do not do well for us. But we do go to the Cowboys week 4, and Cowboys finished 8-8 last year. I mean, they have, you know, Zeke Elliott, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper. They've got a great offensive line. I just think traveling to the Cowboys and to get a W, I just think the Browns are going to get a loss here. Could they win? Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of the question, but I just predict that they'll lose here and they'll be at 2-1 or 2-2 after week 4. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so we know that the Ravens aren't having fans, and we don't know necessarily what the Browns are going to have in terms of fans. You know, I've seen a little bit of rumblings of both things. Personally, as a season ticket holder, we do not have tickets for this year. We're opting out for next year. But this game in Dallas, in Jerry World, could potentially be the first game that the Browns play with fans, which is not going to be good. I think if it's the Cowboys of 2 to 3 years ago, if not better, versus last year's Cowboys team, then this could be a blowout in not in favor of the Browns. I can't see them winning this game, but if they start 3-0, I could see them maybe winning this game if they beat the Ravens. But based on what I've heard and what I've seen and what we're hearing about Baker and the inconsistency in practice, I think that's a loss.
So I think we've agreed on every single week so far.
I think we're 2-2 right now.
I mean, you know, the game at the Cowboys, it's going to be a fast track. You know, it's an indoor stadium. It's going to be a fast track. We got some speedsters. I'm going to be excited to see what Nick Chubb can do, and maybe we can turn OBJ loose on some plays. But, yeah, like I said, hey, if the Browns walk away from a win, that's one game better than I thought, which is already good. So I can see either way, but I'm just thinking that Cowboys will be too much for them week 4. All right.
Yeah, well, when you have – well, I was just going to say, when you have Odell, if you can stay in a game, you could get a miracle from Odell at any point, you know, a miracle 80-yard touchdown or something like that. So I think what's going to be key this year is for the Browns to be in games in the fourth quarter. If you're down 2 scores going into the fourth, that's going to be a lot for, you know, Baker to kind of come back from. But if you're close, you could get an Odell miracle in any game.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so week 6 at Steelers. What are your thoughts?
We skipping the Colts?
We are skipped. No, we're week 5. We're in week 5. Okay, so week 5, Colts at home at Cleveland. Colts finished 8-8 last year. They have Phillip Rivers. They have a new quarterback. What are your thoughts on that game?
See, this is my first, like, I don't have a definitive way that I'm leaning, which means it's probably going to go the opposite of what I say. But I think if the Browns don't have fans, if there's not really crazy home field, I think the Colts win this one. You know, they're a good organization, a good coaching staff, good defense, good offense. Phillip Rivers should elevate them even more. I think these are the types of games that the Browns lose. And it's against teams that they need to beat to take that next step. And this would be an example of where they fall short of that. So I think this is a loss.
All right. This is where we're going to disagree for the first week this year. I actually have them winning that game. And the big reason why is because Phillip Rivers, he's a future Hall of Fame quarterback. I get it. But he's old, and I think our defensive line is going to be all over him. He has a quick release. I'm not saying he can't overcome that, but I think, again, our defensive line is going to be too much for him to handle. He's going to make mistakes. And plus, I remember one of the last times we played him on Christmas Eve, we got that win when the Browns were 1-15. So I kind of feel like we can beat Phillip Rivers and the Colts. I like the Browns in that one. All right, so that's week five. I skipped over the Colts and went to the Steelers because this is a big game. You know, it's at Pittsburgh. It's bad taste in each other's mouth, especially from last year, you know, with Myles Garrett helmet swing, and then Duck Hodges beats the Browns towards the end of last year. So the Browns want redemption. I know Myles Garrett is really looking forward to this game. But I do have the Browns losing this game only because it's in Pittsburgh. You know, I think, we're going to split with the Steelers, but I'm going to give them the home field advantage here. Browns lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers week six. What about you?
So there's two things that the Browns don't do. They don't beat the Steelers, and they don't win in Pittsburgh. So, I mean, this – if there's – any game on the schedule that I think is almost a guaranteed loss based off of history and based off of, like, just what is supposed to happen, I think it's this game. Okay. And it sucks because it looks like that's like a 3-game losing streak on my end for what I think will happen. But I think it's a loss. All the reasons that you said, plus Baker usually does the opposite of what you want to do for big games. He usually gets really hyped up for big games and then disappoints, which we need that to not happen this year. But then he usually, you know, beats up on the weaker teams. You know, Skip Bayless would say that that's what LeBron does, is, you know, he flexes his muscles against the weaker teams, which I don't agree with. But Baker's got a little bit of that in him too. You know, he'll play shitty against the really good teams, but then he'll do the drum solo before they play the 0-15 Dolphins at home, you know? So I think this is a game that Baker talks a lot of shit and gets hyped up, but then they lose.
You think Roethlisberger will be playing at that point? You think he'll make it through the whole year?
Yes, but obviously my opinion changes on the result of this game if he's not playing a little bit, but I think with right now, with thinking he's slotted in there, they win the game. The Steelers win.
Yeah. Yeah. Roethlisberger, I think he's just a big question mark. When you look at the Pittsburgh Steelers team, obviously, you know, he's had tremendous success against Cleveland, and, you know, he wins a lot. I mean, he's been to four Super Bowls. He's won two, I believe. He's very successful at the quarterback position, but this year, I think he'll be still healthy week six, but we play him the last game here. I don't know if he'll still be the quarterback at that point, but
all right, I'm pretty sure he has the most wins at First Energy Stadium of any quarterback.
That is correct,
like,
sir.
Like, by far, right?
Baker's catching up to that. I don't think it's by far, but he's the most winning quarterback in First Energy Stadium history.
That's such a disgusting stat.
We got to change that soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, we got to change that soon. All right, week seven at Bengals. Again, Bengals finished 2-14 last year. You go ahead and start. What do you think we do at Bengals?
I hate the road games, because every road game just makes me a little nervous. But I think if the Browns want to have any chance of making the playoffs next year, they have to go 2-0 against the Bengals. That's the division game that you can't split. I have a little bit of confidence, especially if they beat the Bengals pretty bad first time around. So I'm giving that a dub.
I am giving them a W as well. I just think that, you know, we do have a tough division, as you'd mentioned before. Bengals are the basement of the AFC North, so I just think the Browns are going to sweep them this year. So, yeah, I give them the win on that one. Week eight, Raiders coming home to the Browns' First Energy Stadium. We play the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders finished 7-9 last year. I'll go ahead and start this one. This is going to be a tough game. It is better, obviously, that we're playing at home. Whenever we play the Raiders at their house, it's always tough. You know, the Black Hole is just a tough place to play. I think their new stadium is going to be even tougher than their old stadium. Have you seen pictures of the new stadium? It looks legit.
The Death Star. Place,
Yeah, the Death Star. That place is going to be rocking. But this game is in Cleveland. I think it's going to be close. And this is a little bit like the Cowboys game, where I can see this game going either way. The Browns get a win here, I wouldn't be surprised, but I do think that they will get the loss here when Raiders come to town for week 8. What are your thoughts?
That's interesting. So I think if there's anyone that's less trustworthy than Baker, it's Derek Carr. So, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of confidence in him at all. So I actually think this is more of a win than, you know, maybe that Bengals game on the road. So I'm giving the Browns the W there. And maybe I'm going to say this. I think besides the bye week, that might be my biggest guarantee week the Browns don't lose is at home against the Raiders.
So you're giving them the win. Nice.
Yeah.
We're at 4-3 according to you. So that's not too bad. 4-3. I'll take that. Good. We're going into the bye week 4-3. That's good.
No, we got 4-4. 4-4, it looks like.
Oh, did I not give you another loss? Okay, 4-4.
I had three straight losses. I had Cowboys, Colts, Steelers, all losses.
1, 2, 3. So maybe, yeah, it's okay. So you're at 4-4. Still, we're going into the bye week right now. I think a week 9 bye is good. It's right in the middle of the season. I always hate those early byes, you know, when you get them like week 6 or 7. We have our bye week this week, week 9, and we have a challenging game coming up in week 10. We play the Texans. Now, it is in Cleveland, so that's good. And I'll go ahead and let you start with that prediction. What do you think about the Texans game?
All right, well, I'm going to say this. I think if the Browns are any worse than 4-4, definitely 2-6, okay, I think you're looking at Case Keenum potentially starting this game at home against the Texans. If they're 2-6 to start the year, okay, and it falls a lot on Baker, there's potential for Case Keenum to be starting this game if he looks good in practice and Baker looks really bad. Probably not 3-5, okay, but 2-6, I think Keenum has a chance to start week 10. And I also think the Texans are good, man. Bill O'Brien's kind of dumb, but the Texans are good. That's another loss.
Wow. So you're thinking potentially Baker could be benched by this game if the record's like 2-6 and he looks bad.
Because the bye week is perfectly in the middle of the season, it really gives you the opportunity to evaluate Baker in the first half of the season and then make your decision if halfway through his year 3, if he's your guy. And if you can make that, if you can comfortably make the decision one way or another, then you know what to do for the second half of the season. If you are confident after 8 games, after he's 2.5 seasons done, if you're confident that he is not your guy, then you bench him. But if you still don't know, or if you're confident he is your guy, then obviously he starts that game. And I don't think either of them can out-duel Deshaun Watson. So I'm going with the loss there.
Okay. I didn't.
I'm pretty.
Yeah, I didn't know we were getting into Baker talk now.
Yeah, I'm pretty. Yeah, I'm bringing this down. Sorry, guys.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm gonna respectfully disagree. I don't think at any point this season will Baker be benched. We already know what we have in Case Keenum. What you're basically saying, if you bench Baker Mayfield, you are basically saying he is not your quarterback. You're looking to draft another quarterback. You are starting all over. I don't think Kevin Stefanski is going to make that decision at any point this year, unless it's just catastrophically bad. And 2-6 sounds bad, but man, we have to understand this is a new system, new coaches. They're still installing the offense right now as we speak. They're still installing the offense.
So well, it depends. It depends what that 2-6 looks like. If it looks like what we were talking about, where the offense is explosive and they're just losing high scoring games, then it's a different story. But if it's 2-6 and you're not competing and the offense just isn't there with the weapons that they have, then that's where I think it comes in. So it's all decision, or it's all, what's the word I'm thinking of? It's not hypothetical, but it all depends on like what is actually happening in in the season. You know, I don't think it's just if they're 2-6, no matter what, Baker's going to be benched. But like I said, if they're 2-6 and he is not playing well, then I think it could happen.
Well, I mean, Kevin Stefanski took this job knowing that Baker didn't have a good year last year.
Right.
You know, and never has that come out of his mouth that this is a quarterback competition and Case Keenum, if he looks good in camp, might get the starting role. No, Baker is Kevin Stefanski's guy. So I think – and there is a leash. You know, I'm not saying there's not a leash, but I don't think it's 8 games in the season. You know, no matter – I mean, unless he's like 0-8 and looks just horrible, but – I just don't see that happening.
Well, think about who's going to be pissed off if he's bad. You know, Odell, Landry, Hooper signed a huge deal. He's not coming here to be bad. You know, Chubb is going to be pissed if he's just carrying all the load and basically did what he did last year, which is have the rushing record by – or lose the rushing record by, like, one rush to Derrick Henry. So – and we'll, I don't want to be somber about Baker, but I just, like I said, my expectations are low. I hope that they're 4-4 or better at the bye week and he is having a great year. But I think, especially because the media loves to hate him, you will hear all year about Case Keenum breathing down his neck.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so our first 8 games, there's only one team of our first 8 games that had a better than 500 record last year, and that's the first game of the year against the Ravens. You know, all the other teams that we play, I mean, the best after that is 8-8, and that's the Steelers and the Cowboys. So I just don't see a game where we're going to get just blown out, smoked. Of course, I said that last year in week one, we get blown out against the Titans. So if any team is going to blow us out, it'd probably be week one. But outside of that, man, I just – yeah, mm-hmm. I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but I just don't think that, you know, they're going to bench Baker to put Case Keenum in. But we'll see. I just think that Baker's the guy, so.
I agree. But just last thing we'll say about this, and then we can move on,
right,
move on to the Eagles game. But let's just say it shakes down like this. Let's say they – lose to the Ravens and they beat the Bengals and the Redskins. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then let's say they lose at the Cowboys, lose at home versus the Colts, lose at the Steelers, lose a game that they should win at Bengals, and then lose to the Raiders. So 5 straight losses going into the bye. One of them is against the Bengals, who we think going into the season they should win. I think that potentially is where, you know, things could start to shake up.
Where it can come off the hinges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an important 5-game stretch right there. I mean, there's definitely games that we should win. You know, when you talk about, you know, the Bengals, I mean, obviously we can beat the Bengals. The other ones are – they can go one way or the other. Like I said, the Cowboys, Colts, at Steelers, and Raiders, those can go either ways. We're just showing our predictions, but yeah. I mean, that, you know, I guess if they're all losses and we lost in a real bad way, there would definitely be, you know, a lot of screaming fans and Twitter would be a mess. I'd probably have to sign out for a couple weeks at that
point. I got one more thing. One more thing. And don't forget this all year, okay? A big part of the Viking success for Stefanski was the year with the miracle against the Saints, okay? Case Keenum was the quarterback. Yeah, so Stefanski's got a little – you don't bring in Case Keenum if he's not like – if you're not confident in him to come into games, especially if you've won with him before. So I think it's not being talked about enough, Baker's leash, but it's long. It's long. But when the second guy is someone you've coached before and had success with and made it to the NFC – championship with, scares me if I'm Baker, I'll tell you that, if I'm hanging in the RV.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at that or you can look at the other side of it. I mean, Case Keenum was the perfect quarterback to bring for all the reasons that you said, but to coach Baker up and teach him the system that Stefanski was under in Minnesota. So, you know, having Case Keenum to bring, and Case Keenum knows his role. He knows he's not, you know, fighting for a starting job, although, you know, if you were to give him some truth serum, he'd probably tell you he was. But, you know, he's going to help Baker, you know, get this offense down. And he's a great pickup, because if something were to happen to Baker injury-wise, then I wouldn't feel like our season's totally over. Whereas in years past, if our starting quarterback went down, you're like, oh, well, it's our season's done. Well, I don't feel like that with Case Keenum sitting on the bench.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, all right, let's go ahead and move on. Week 10, coming off our bye, I think this is a good game coming off the bye, because we're going to have 2 weeks to prepare for the Texans. Again, it's in Cleveland. Texans finished 10-6 last year. They have a great offense and pretty good defense. Andrew, I'll let you start that off. What do you think about this game?
Wait, which game are we talking about?
The Texans.
Yeah. That's the one I said I think Keenum could start. So I'm giving that one to the Texans. I think you're up for that one.
All right, so you're giving the loss there. I am actually coming home with the win, baby. The Browns are going to win that game. Yeah.
Wow.
It's in Cleveland. I think we played the Texans either last year or the year before last, and we played horrible the first half. Baker threw like 3 picks, and then he came the second half and played a lot better. So I can guarantee you this game is circled on Baker's calendar. I believe that, we'll get the win against Texans in Cleveland. If it was in Houston, I would probably go the other way. But because it's in Cleveland, I'm going to pick the Browns over the Texans. So I give them the W there.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Very interesting. All right, week 11, Eagles come to Cleveland. We have two home games in a row here coming off the bye. So I will start that. Eagles are they're a good football team, they have a great quarterback, Carson Wentz. He's a great regular season quarterback. He usually gets injured when it comes into the playoffs, but he has a great record during the regular season. And I just think that this game here, the Browns are going to lose. I do think it could be close, but I think the Eagles get the victory here.
If Wentz is healthy, I don't think the Browns have a shot to win this game. If he's not healthy, then I think they can. I hope he's healthy. He's good when he's healthy. And he also, it's not like the Browns, because they did not draft him, because they said, or Hugh said something weird about him, didn't he?
Yeah, he said he's not a top 20 quarterback.
Yeah, he said something. So he just doesn't like the Browns. I think this is another loss.
Yeah, another loss there. Okay, so we're
– this is where my schedule starts to – this is where I'm coming from with my 6 win range. I have now 2 separate 3-game losing streaks on my schedule.
Yeah. So you're saying it's going to get better from week 12 or worse?
I think the rest of the season is a little – we'll get into it. You'll see.
Okay. The suspense is killing me. All right, week 12 at Jaguars. We go against the Fu Manchu mustache guy.
Baker wannabe.
Baker wannabe. What's Gardner Minshew?
Yeah.
You go ahead and start us off with that.
I think the Jaguars stink. Stink, stink, stink. I think they're going to stink this year. I think the Browns get that win, and it's going to start off a little win streak for my Browns.
All right. So you're giving the Browns the W in Jacksonville, and I'm with you, my friend. I think the Browns go into Jacksonville, and I don't even think it's going to be close. I think the Browns are going to wallop the Jacksonville Jaguars for week 12. Week 13, possible redemption game. We're at Titans. They said no fans. I had a plan to go to this game because my brother-in-law lives there and wants to take me deer hunting. So I was going to make a deer hunting trip and then go to the Browns game on Sunday, but doesn't look like that's going to happen now. But, yeah, so at Titans last year, of course, we played in week 1. They took it to us, man. I don't know any way to put that. They just – took it to us. We didn't expect it. We didn't see it coming. And honestly, the Titans had a magical year last year. They came from one game of going to the Super Bowl. So This is going to be a tough game. I just think the Browns are going to get a loss here. I think it's going to be closer than last year, but I don't think they're going to overcome, in Tennessee. I just think it's going to be a tough game. So what are your thoughts?
Loss. No, I'm just kidding. Win. Redemption win.
Redemption win.
Redemption win. I think last year we took them lightly. I think this year they take us lightly. And I think they win. I don't really have a reason. They got to win this game. If they want to, based on the record that I'm giving them, if they want to save their season, this game's going to have to be a win.
Maybe Jack Conklin's the answer. He was with Tennessee last year, and we got him during the offseason. So maybe he's the golden goose.
Yep.
For this year. All right, so you give him the win there at Tennessee. All right, now this is the game. Ravens come to Cleveland. Week 14. Ravens, we both gave the Browns the loss week one. But this is different. It's in Cleveland. Maybe some defenses have figured out Lamar Jackson. Maybe, the Browns are shaping into the team that we hope that they can be. It's week 14. What are your thoughts, week 14?
I think they are losing that game.
I can't see them. I thought I gave some pretty good points there.
I can't see them beating the Ravens. I can't confidently give the Browns a win over the Ravens. I can't do it. Come that day, if the Browns are having a good year, I'm definitely going to bet on them. I'm definitely going to tell people that I think they can beat them. But right now, if you take everything away and just say, if you were just saying, hey, tomorrow the Browns are playing one game, the season is one game, and it's at home against Baltimore, are they winning the game? I'm saying no. So if you look at it game by game, which is what we have to do with the fan uncertainty and the COVID uncertainty and injury and all that. So if this game was, if the first game of the season was home instead of on the road, I'd be giving them a loss. So I'm giving them a loss.
Yeah, I am giving them a W here. I think every team has processes to the growth of where they want to become. I think that at our stage right now in a tough division, I think we're at the stage where we start splitting with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. And until the Bengals show us otherwise, we sweep them. That's where we're at now. So I think the Browns are going to beat the Ravens at home. Hey, last year, that was one of our best games of the season. Nick Chubb went off. At one point I thought Ravens
wasn't that
have a
at,
chance.
Wasn't that at Baltimore, though?
It was at Baltimore. Nobody expected it. But right. What a Chubb run. Was that an 88-yard touchdown run? He busted out just to – and the game was out of reach after that. So the Ravens scored like a garbage touchdown. It should have been even a worse loss than it was for them. But they scored a garbage touchdown at the end. Hey, and by this point, man, hopefully we have fans by this point. So now we can talk about some home field advantage.
I'm going to piss you off with this question right here. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You really think Case Keenum can win that game at home against Baltimore?
I do think Case Keenum can win that game, but I don't think we're going to need that. I think Baker's still going to be our quarterback. Look, it's okay to have an opinion. I mean, everybody's got an opinion. Some people didn't want us to draft Baker Mayfield. Some people were pissed off that we drafted him. I liked when we drafted him. I'll admit I didn't know a whole lot about him, but all my buddies were saying, man, you're going to like this kid. He's a winner. He's a scrapper. He's a fighter. He's the perfect guy for Cleveland, man. He's the ultimate underdog, which is what we are. So, yeah, I think that Baker Mayfield – is going to do fine in the Stefanski system. I think he's going to thrive just like Kirk Cousins did. I think Baker's Case Keenum did. Was Stefanski actually the coordinator when Case Keenum was there? I don't think he was.
No, he definitely played under him, but I don't know if he was the head coordinator.
Well, he was one of the coaches in the offensive system, but he wasn't the coordinator.
Right. I don't think he was the.
Yeah. Let's.
I love Baker. I hope he's good, man. But I just. Wait, I'm looking it up right now. He was the interim offensive coordinator in 2018. He was the offensive coordinator in 2019. And he was the quarterback coach before that. So he was heavily involved with Keenum.
He was heavily involved with Keenum. He was the quarterback coach.
I love Baker. I love Baker. Okay. I think Baker has the tools. I just need to see it before I say, like, he's great. You know, I need to see. It can't just be a better year than last year. It has to be a better year than his rookie year, which is hard because he broke the record for touchdowns for a rookie. But he can't just be better than last year. He has to be better than he was as a rookie for them to really make him a jump.
I mean, he has to be a game manager, right? That's all he has to be, a game manager. We have the best running backs, in my opinion, in the entire league. You know, with the likes of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, where in the league is it better than that? I mean, I guess right. You can make some arguments for some other teams, but, man, it doesn't get better than that. So give the ball to Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. If you get in trouble, you got Austin Hooper there. You got Njoku. You have Harrison Bryant. Oh, by the way, you have OBJ and Jarvis Landry, Higgins. I mean, man, we got some weapons. So he doesn't have to be, you know, Peyton Manning to get us over the hump and make the playoffs. He just has to be a game manager and not make the mistakes. That's where I think Kevin Stefanski steps in is, you know, he coaches them up and teaches them that, hey, you don't have to make those. Because, hey, last year he was under pressure. He was running for his life. He threw throws that he should not have made. And by the way, four or five of those interceptions hit right off the receiver's hand. So his receivers weren't helping him out either. But anyways, we could do a whole nother episode on that. Let's get back into the schedule. All right, so week 14, Ravens, you have a loss, I have a W. Week 15, at Giants, we're in New York 2 weeks in a row.
We should just stay there.
Yeah, why not just stay there? I think it's right around Christmas time. We can, you know, have Christmas in New York. But, so we go against the Giants, Danny Dimes, Saquon Barkley. This is going to be a fun game. I think it's going to be a close game. It's going to be exciting. I do see us getting the W there. Again, this is going to be a game where I can see it coming down to a field goal or we just blow them out. But I do think, ultimately, we get the W week 15 against the Giants. What are your thoughts?
I agree with you 100% for the same reasons that you said. I just think they're not, like, unless Daniel Jones just insanely exceeds his expectations, I can't see him being that good this year. So I'm taking Keenum and the Browns. No, I'm kidding. I'm taking Baker to drastically outplay Daniel Jones because that's a game he gets hyped up for. You know, a shitty game against a Giants team that they should beat. That's where he's going to come out and, you know, do that thing when he does that to the crowd like he did against Kansas and Oklahoma or big drums. So you know, that's the games he wins. So I'm taking the Browns.
And little side note, if you have OBJ in your fantasy, definitely start him for that game.
That might be your fantasy championship week 14. That's a lot that's a lot of fantasy league championships. Ooh, that's a tasty championship matchup. Week 15. That's a lot of league championships is week 15.
Week 15, yep. So, all right, so we both have the W at Giants. We stay in New York, same stadium, same field, different colors. We play Sam Darnold and the New York Jets.
Same result.
Same result. Win, baby. So we're giving them a win there too.
Win.
So
win.
Yeah.
Same result.
All right, so New York has been favorable to us this year in the Browns' schedule. Hey, Sam Darnold has not done well against Baker. Did he play – see, we played him last year, Monday Night Football. Did he still have the mono kissing disease?
The first game he missed, I think.
First game he missed.
Yeah, because it was week two. No, it was week three because I don't remember. But that was Odell's, like, huge touchdown, and we just beat up on there. Go, oh, shock. Baker shows up for the game against the other team's third string quarterback. He loves showing up for those games.
We can't help who we play, though.
I know.
But yeah, that was a, some say was a sloppy win, but I will take a win. I don't care if it's sloppy or it just looks great. A win is a win in my book. Definitely Browns over the Jets, week 16 in New York.
So well, what are our records going into the finale?
My record is 9-6. What is yours?
7-8.
Seven
is that?
And eight?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 7-8. I'm 9-6. Going into the last game against the Steelers in Cleveland. We are talking playoff implications possibly for both these teams. Huge game. I don't think any starters on either side of the ball team-wise will be resting. I think all players will be playing. This is a game that both teams are going to need. It's my turn, isn't it? I got to pick this game first.
Well, let me prompt this to you, okay?
Okay, all right.
It's a game the Browns need to win. So what's going to happen?
Well, I'm going to, right as I predict, I'm going to tell you what I predict. I predict the Browns get the W here. And again, it's going back to what I was saying. In our process of being where we want to go, I think right now we are in a time where we are going to split with the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I think we're going to split with the Steelers. Now, could it be that we lose this game and win the game at Pittsburgh? Possibly. I think it's going to be this way, though. You bring up a good point. We are going to see Baker Mayfield under pressure of win or go home, no playoffs, possibly, in this game. Are we going to see Roethlisberger through 17 weeks right now as it sits 2 weeks before the season starts? We have to assume that Roethlisberger is going to be playing. It's going to be interesting. Roethlisberger has been in these games before. This is going to be nothing to him. It's not going to be pressure like it's going to be with Baker Mayfield. So it will be interesting in that aspect that maybe I didn't think about, but I still think the Browns get the W here, and we will be in the playoffs in 2020, finishing out with a record of 10-6. Boom! Beat that.
I got my record mixed up here. I think I counted wrong. Do you have my official stats?
I
got to go through it.
Yeah, I got to go through it
real quick. All right, so I went loss, win, win, loss, loss, loss. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Win. Did I say they'd beat the Raiders? Oh, I said guaranteed win.
You said guaranteed win. Yeah, I believe is what you said.
Loss, loss, win. Okay. And then I said redemption game, beat the Titans, lose the Ravens, win. Win. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, yeah. So I'm actually 8-7 going into this game, not 7-8. So I had it backwards. Okay.
All the Browns
wins are two game win streaks because they beat the Giants and the Jets, beat Jaguars and Titans, Bengals Raiders, Bengals Redskins. Okay.
So going into this game, your prediction and my prediction has a different feel to it because your predictions going into this game will be, let's ruin any chances the Pittsburgh Steelers have of possibly getting the playoffs because we're not in, right? I don't know. I mean, well, maybe we could be.
There's three wild card teams this year for the first year. So they're 8-7 right now. They like 9-7 probably gets you that third wild card spot this year. But – it's a game the Browns need to win. They're finishing the season 8-8. They're losing to the Steelers. That's what I thought. They never win that last game. Never. Never, ever, ever, ever. And they never beat the Steelers, and they're not – I mean, one time last year when – like, that was the worst – the one time they beat the Steelers, Myles Garrett gets suspended for six games. Like, that's just – of course. So I think they go 8-8, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying at the beginning, is I think they go 8-8, but I think two of those wins could be losses where you see a 6-10 season. I hope two of those losses are wins and they go 10-6, but
and it very well could be. There's a couple of games out on the schedule where I predicted a loss where I think they could get a win, or vice versa, where I picked a win, then they could possibly get a loss. But ultimately, I think the Browns finish the season 10-6. They make the playoffs, and we'll see from there. Hey, if you told me right now that the Browns are making the playoffs, I would say that's a successful season. So I'm excited about that. But you know, the nice thing about doing this on a podcast is that it's archived. Mm-hmm. Instead of just two buddies predicting the season, it's, and man, we're recording this so we can actually go back and listen to this in the end of the year and see where we, how we fared.
Oh man, I'm scared. I'm scared.
Well, what are your final thoughts before we start the season?
My final thoughts are just be good, Baker. I don't have a lot of confidence in you, but just be good. Please, man. Just don't throw the ball to the other team. That's my final message. Dude, I'm worn out talking about the Browns for an hour. It wears you out thinking about the losses. Whew.
Well, my final thoughts is Baker, yeah, if we're going to stay on Baker, just be a good game manager, you know, learn the system, get confident, be the leader that we need you to be. All these guys that look up to Baker. And so it is so important if you want to have a team that does great things and make the playoffs, it starts with the quarterback position. So I guess my final thoughts going into this season is, Baker, trust your guys, trust the guys you're handing the ball off to, and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. And like you said, to your point, just don't make the mistakes. We have playmakers on this team. We got your back. The fans believe in you. I think Baker's going to be a great quarterback for years to come. I just believe that. So going into this season, this is an important season. You know, we have contracts that are coming up in the next couple of years. This is the sweet spot. Like, if you're going to do anything, let's do it right now. I have not seen talent on our roster ever in my life. I mean, the 1980s were great. We had some great teams with tremendous heart. This team has tremendous talent, and we need to see the heart. If this team can, you know, get tough and show us heart, and who knows what they can do. But, yeah, that's my thoughts going into this season. So, you're right. We're up against it, man. It's been an hour, but it's going to be fun. I can't wait for this season to start. Andrew, where can the listeners find you on social media?
At Andrew Zolder on Twitter. Follow at Zedia Network. Follow Drive the Lane Pod. Follow at Browns for good luck. And also follow Browns Huddle Pod and at Browns Huddle.
Awesome, man. Well, we're looking forward to the exciting things that Zedia Network is bringing podcast listeners. And I really appreciate you having coming on the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Well, you have a great night. And listeners, stay tuned, because next we have Jeff Risden coming on to you next on the Browns Huddle Podcast. This is Jason Hand. I'm your host. Let's take a quick break. You are listening to the Browns Huddle Podcast, part of the Zedia Network. Check out Zedia Network on Twitter at Zedia Network or on the web, zedianetwork.com. I am your host, Jason Hand. You can find me on Twitter at Browns Huddle, or you can find this podcast on Twitter at Browns Huddle Pod. Our guest on the show today is Jeff Risden. Jeff is the managing editor for the Browns Wire and also the Lions Wire. He is the co-host of ESPN 96.1. You can listen to that show on the web at ESPN961.com. Jeff knows his stuff about football. We are glad to have him here today. Jeff, welcome to the Browns Huddle Podcast.
It is good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor. It really is. I was excited to have you on the show. So hopefully you can help us iron out some things that we're a little confused about in the Browns Nation.
Well, we will certainly try, because there are some, it's confusing times, my friend.
Well, one thing I want some help on, Jeff, is, you know, I feel like a kid that peaked at his Christmas present under the tree. And on one hand, I'm excited that my parents got me the Turbo Man doll. But on the other hand, I noticed that the doll my parents bought me in the package, I found it's broken. His arm is just broken off. So, you know, I'm excited that they got me that. But at the same time, Christmas is coming up and I know I got a broken toy under the tree. That's kind of how I feel about the Cleveland Browns right now, at least on the defensive side of the ball. Should I be worried about that?
Yeah, you probably should. I am. I was expecting, I had tempered expectations for Mac Wilson in his second season. And I also have tempered expectations that he will return at some point. It's a hyperextended knee that sucks, but maybe he can be back by Thanksgiving, maybe at the end of the year. The one that hurts is Delpit, because he was the joker for the defense. He was the wild card. I loved him at LSU. And the fact that he was able to play any of the three safety spots in Joe Woods' defense and probably be the best at any of those three of anybody that's on the team. And that's not slighting Sendejo and Carl Joseph. It's just a fact of how much I thought of him. Losing him's hard, man. That's a real tough blow to the defense. And the way that it happened, I actually just saw the video earlier today. It was the first time I'd seen it. It's heartbreaking, man, to see that. On a more, you know, broader level, all the injuries happening to defense, you know, you got MJ Stewart or Greedy Williams is hurt right now. So many of these guys are banged up. Chad Thomas went out for a while. I'm not a Chad Thomas fan, but it still sucks to see him go. It's hard to mentally process, you know, oh my God, you know, is there something going on here? You know, did we open a Mayan pit or something that we're all going to fall into? It's tough, man. That does wear psychologically on you as a fan, and I think it does as a team too. You like, you feel, am I next? Are we cursed? You know, what's going on here? That's a tough way to be, man.
It really has been a tough pill to swallow. Every night when I get home from work, I immediately check my Twitter feed and just kind of hold my breath that I'm not going to see the next guy that's injured.
Yeah, I know. You see, it was Tuesday. I think there was 11 guys who sat out practice with injury, and that's not counting Delpit. I mean, that's a lot of dudes, man. And you know, some of them are just veteran maintenance. You know, like, you don't expect Jarvis Landry to go hard and practice all the time, but, you know, Greedy's a starting cornerback. The fact that he's injured and the fact that he's not a big guy is tough. Kevin Johnson, that one's hard, man, because as you probably know, I am not a Kevin Johnson fan. I have dogged him. I covered him when he was in Houston, and he was awful. The player who was in Houston does not make this Browns team, but he was better than that, and he had shown growth, and I'm like, God, this guy, he got it. It's great. I'm happy for him, you know. I never root for guys to fail. I like seeing guys to shove it in my face and say, hey, dude, you're stupid. I like that. He was doing that. I mean, he was playing great football. For him to get that injury, man, that hurts so bad, because he has fought so many injuries over his career. For that to happen to him when things are going well, man, that's tough to take.
Yeah, I mean, and he's back out there, so.
It's great that he's out, and he's week to week. I don't have any experience recovering from a lacerated liver. Apparently Jason Witten played like 2 weeks after he had one. So maybe there's, but think about that. A lacerated liver in football practice. That's, again, to go back to the macro level. Is there something going on in Cleveland that we need to be aware of? Are they cursed? That's stuff that just doesn't happen.
And it seems to be happening on the defensive side of the ball. So it's definitely one-sided that we're getting all these injuries. And it's in, you know, the areas of our defense where before the training camp started, we had concerns anyway. So then you stack the injuries on top of that. Now there's real concern.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was happy that they signed MJ Stewart. I think he's got a potential to be a good either a slot corner or the hybrid safety slot corner role. I like that. He's got to stay healthy and get on the field. You know, the secondary and really the middle of field defense is the biggest concern that I have. And losing Delpit is a big part of that. If Carl Joseph is back and healthy, that helps. And he's looked very good the last couple of days by all accounts, which is great news because he has high-end potential. He's just got to stay healthy, and so far so good on that front. Now that he's back and working, they're spoon-feeding him with his foot injury, but it seems like he and Sunday, Sheldrick Redwine can step up. I mean, they have options, but they're unproven, and I think that's where you have to worry. You know, at linebacker too, you know, they signed Malcolm Smith, Super Bowl MVP. Oh yeah. Well, that was 6 years ago, guys. And ever since he left San Francisco, after he had his injuries, he has not been the same guy. Maybe he can recover again. It's a good signing. I'm supportive of it. I'm glad that they went out and got somebody, but they're relying on a lot of guys who haven't played to the level that they're being asked to play at in that middle of the field. You know, BJ Goodson played his way out of starting roles in Green Bay and New York. You want to see him step up. So far, he's looked pretty good in camp. In the streams that I've watched, I'm like, hey, all right, that guy can start. That's good. You know, I do like Sione Takitaki. I'm hopeful that he can improve, but he hasn't done it yet. So all those, you're asking guys to play higher than they've proven that they can play. And that's a tough task. And when the injuries happen, you're asking even more guys to do that. You're asking guys like who's our third string safety, my guy JT Hassel, to step up. You're asking Donovan Alumba, who's looked great in camp by all accounts, to be your number two cornerback right now. I mean, that's, you know, moving guys up higher on the depth chart than where they belong is a very risky proposition. Some guys will do it. Some guys will step up. I don't want it to be doom and gloom, but it's tough, man. It's tough to believe in that faith, especially when, I mean, I've been critical of the linebacking core. I think everybody who's around the Browns has been critical of the linebacking core. And then, you know, when you lose Mac Wilson out of that, who's the most, he's not the best player, but he's the most physically talented player that they had there, man, that's a tough blow.
Yeah, I mean, Mac Wilson was a player that a lot of Browns fans, including myself, were just excited to see develop this year.
He's an easy guy to like. He's a really easy guy to like. Yeah.
You nailed it on that. He's an easy guy to like. We all followed him on Twitter during the offseason. He had high expectations for this year for his game, and that was a tough blow when we lost Mac Wilson. And it's hyperextended knee, like you were saying earlier. Hopefully, you know, it's maybe only 8, 9, 10 games. Maybe he can come back this season. We don't know, but we have to assume that he's probably looking at next year.
Yeah, as the late great Chuck Daly once said, a pessimist is an optimist with experience. The experience says that you should probably be pessimistic about him returning this year.
That's right. How do you band-aid a crippled defense? Is there anything Joe Woods can do scheme-wise to kind of band-aid this defense? Is it just as easy as bringing guys in to fill holes? I mean, it's kind of slim pickings out there in the free agent market. I mean, I guess you can make a trade.
It's a good question. I like the idea of being even more aggressive with your front, maybe playing a 5-man front. You've got a lot of really good defensive linemen on this team. I think we're seeing a guy like Porter Gustin stepping up and saying, hey, I need to be on the field.
I like that guy. Yeah, I do too.
I've been very impressed with what I've seen. He's one of the early stars of camp. If you can get five guys on your front and not hurt your coverage in that intermediate area. The way you beat five defensive linemen is you throw screen passes to the side, you stretch them horizontally, and you run behind them. If they can handle that, and I think there's potential to do that, I like the idea of running a 5-2 defense. It's unorthodox, but the other side of that is a lot of offensive coordinators in the league haven't seen that before. And that's where the strength of the Browns defense is. I mean, you get Myles Garrett and Larry Ogunjobi and Sheldon Richardson, and all those guys can play multiple spots up there. Olivier Vernon has looked very good so far. You get Porter Gustin on the field. Chad Thomas, as much as I've dogged him, has shown that he can do some things pretty well. Now, they have the ability to cycle guys in and out there. That's something that I would certainly explore if I'm Joe Woods. I don't know if he'll do it or not, but it's if you're getting more of your better players on the field, that seems to make sense to me.
It certainly puts a lot of pressure on the offense to perform. That's for sure. Do we look at signing? We've heard, Earl Thomas, Logan Ryan has come up. Do we look at signing one of those guys?
I would not go after Earl Thomas. And my stance on that is, and this isn't just a Cleveland thing. If the Baltimore Ravens, who I think are the best team in the AFC, if their players think they're better without him, I don't think he's going to help Cleveland. With a rookie head coach and that the locker room that, I mean, I don't want to say there's a leadership void on the defense in Cleveland, but Christian Kirksey was a very powerful force in the locker room. He's gone. Joe Schobert was a powerful force in the locker room. He's gone. Morgan Burnett is gone. He's actually still out there. I worry that they would not be able to handle, especially with a rookie coach, the Earl Thomas experience. Doesn't mean he's a good player or wouldn't help that, but I would much rather go after a guy like Logan Ryan makes a lot of sense. Tony Jefferson, the ex-Raven, makes a lot of sense. Tony Jefferson plays on train tracks, but good God, if you're in his train tracks, you're going to die. He's going to run you over. He's turned himself into a pretty good all-around player. Eric Reed is out there. There are people who will not like him because of his off-field proclivities, but he's a good football player. Even a guy like Jahleel Adai, who played for the Chargers for many years, is a guy who can step in and help. So there is help out there that isn't necessarily Earl Thomas. And it depends on how high you want to go. If you want to go high end, you go Logan Ryan. You want to go low end, you go with a guy like Adai or our old friend Brian Body Calhoun, who's still out there.
Good point.
Personal favorite of mine. I love the guy. It did not work for him at all in Houston or Indianapolis last year. You have to temper your expectations with him. But
Is he not with the team right now?
He is not. He is still out there on the market. So there are plenty of options. None of them are Grant Delpit. But as long as nobody else goes down, you can find somebody who can come in and capably play a role in the defense.
I agree with you on Earl Thomas. I know a lot of people are wanting him in the building, but I just don't think that Cleveland's set up for that right now. No, we don't have, no. We don't have the veterans to be able to, you know.
Right, and that's not something you want to do to a rookie coach. I think one of the issues to harken back on 2019 for a second, I don't think that Freddie Kitchens handled it poorly, but I think interjecting Odell Beckham onto him and the Odell experience was a lot to ask of a rookie coach, and I hope that they've learned the lesson. That's probably not the way to go.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We'll see where that shakes out. Obviously, they have to bring in some people. But I was just wondering if there's something scheme-wise Joe Woods can do to help cripple a defense that's just beat up right now, and the season's not even started yet.
Yeah, I like Woods. I like the hiring. I like his creativity. I like the fact that he's worked under Wade Phillips and other guys. So he's done a 3-4. He's done a 4-3. He's open-minded. He's been creative in the past. So I think they'll be okay there. Hopeful.
our defense is going to consist of players that aren't household names. What young players deep in our depth chart should I start paying attention to?
Yeah, I think Porter Gustin, we talked about him a little bit already. I think that's a guy who's going to see the field a lot this year. And he played very well against Pittsburgh last year. I think that is an endearing quality that everyone can appreciate. I know I do. This is a guy who never really lived up to his potential in college and finally seems like he's found a home at what he wants to do. He can play with a hand in the dirt. He can play standing up in space a little bit. He's one. Donovan Alumba, another guy that we talked about briefly. Guy's got all kinds of size. If you look and you're watching the stream, he's number 33 with the hair. He's huge. He's 6'2", 200 pounds. And in a secondary with guys like Denzel Ward and Greedy Williams, who are skinny dudes, he really stands out. Uh-huh. And he's played well. There's room for him to do things. Another guy that is interesting to me is Tay Davis, a guy who I kind of thought was a bit of an afterthought going into camp, but now he's going to make the team. Yeah. And he's doing something with his reps too. I did a little bit more digging on him, found out that he played safety in college, which is a plus. And maybe he can fill that role that Delpit was supposed to do a little bit. Obviously he's bigger, But in terms of that, that hybrid linebacker safety, a guy that you're wanting to match up with a flexed out tight end, a guy who can attack a screen pass, a guy who can handle a circle route from a running back coming out of the backfield and recognize it and have the speed and athleticism to deal with it, I'm hopeful that he can do that. So, again, it's not all doom and gloom. There is potential for some guys to step up, some of those guys, and there's probably going to be a surprise or two that we don't even know about. Maybe it's Eli Ankou, who's had some good reps with the first-team defense when guys have been out. I'm not a huge advocate of his, but let's see what he can do, man, you know? And I know there's a lot of people that care about A.J. Green, the undrafted cornerback. Based on everything that I've seen and heard, he will be in Cleveland. I don't know if he'll be on the active roster. He'll probably be one of those protected practice squad guys, but there's enough there to play with too. And, you know, if he gets to be a next man up, he has the ability to be the next man up and stay there for a while.
That's awesome stuff. You know, that's part of the reason why I love preseasons, that you get to see the rookies and the undrafted signings. You get to see people and you get to learn players, and we don't get to see that this year. So your insight
sad,
on that
isn't
is,
it? It's sad.
It is sad.
I miss the preseason. I know fans beg in the preseason all the time. For those of us who do what we do, watching preseason is like, oh my God, it's manna from heaven.
Yeah, I mean, there's stories every single year, you know, and this year we were robbed of that. And, you know, probably the future years, there's going to be less and less preseason games. I know players are fighting for, you know, I think 2 preseason games a year, so, which is probably good. That's probably a good compromise.
If they mixed in the 2-team practices with scrimmages involved in it, I'm good with that. Those have been very productive. That's something that, aside from the fact that I just enjoy seeing other teams in Berea and in Allen Park, Michigan, where I go to the Lionscape as well, I kind of split my time between the two of those places most of the years, and I wind up getting to see 4 teams every year, and that's awesome. And I kind of missed that this year.
Not all NFL fans are college football fans, and I want to run through – I know the draft happened a while ago, but, again, back to the point of we have no preseason, so we don't know a lot of these guys. I want to run through our draft picks, if you'll entertain us for just a second. You know, our first draft pick, Jedrick Wills, I'm personally excited about him. He was drafted our first-round pick. He is our – left tackle. He's going to be the answer for Joe Thomas that we miss. He was a right tackle at Alabama. Is the transition from moving to right tackle to left tackle, is that a big deal? Is that something that we should pay attention to? What are your thoughts on that?
There's going to be growing pains. Yes. If you're right-handed, try doing everything that you do in your day left-handed or left-footed. It's changing both your handwork and your footwork. It can be done. And if you're a high level athlete, it's a lot easier. But he's going to have some times where it's going to show. That's just going to happen. That's dealing with a rookie. He's a really solid player. He was actually not my preference of choice. I wanted Tristan Wirfs. I'm happy with what I've seen from him and what I've heard from him and heard about him. I think it's going to work out very well. The bar for being better than Greg Robinson is low, I can't fathom him being anywhere close to that low, honestly. He's starting out, he is a high floor prospect. I think that's one of the things that appealed to Andrew Berry and to Kevin Stefanski about him, is the fact that he might not have the top end potential that a guy like Andrew Thomas or Tristan Wirfs or even Mekhi Becton had. But his floor is so much higher than any of those guys, and he'll be ready to roll, and he will be better than Greg Robinson. He will not be Joe Thomas as a rookie. Don't put that weight of expectations on him. But I think there's ample reason to be excited and satisfied that he's in Cleveland.
And we can expect him to start week 1 against the Ravens in a couple weeks, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, the Browns' next 2 picks next 3 picks were all on defense, actually, you know, which could bode well for us in light of the recent injuries. We know about Grant Delpit. He was from LSU, taken in the 2nd round.
Loved the pick.
Yeah, I did too. And to your point earlier, man, I was really excited about him this year. And, you know, the injury happened. If you're going to get injured like that, it's probably better to be injured now than mid-season, because then it's going to affect next year.
Right. Yeah. The Achilles is 9 to 12 months. So
9 to 12 months
from now, he's still back. Now he's a finely tuned athlete, so he's probably a little on the lower end of that. If it happened to me, I might never walk again. It's disappointing. I went back, I looked at my preseason mock draft. I had him going to the Cleveland Browns at number 7 overall.
Did you really?
I did. getting him at, what was it, 45 was fantastic, 43. I'm excited for the future with him, but it's a real bummer that he's not going to be there this year.
It is a bummer. Our next two picks, we had two third round picks. We selected defensive tackle Jordan Elliott and linebacker Jacob Phillips. What can you tell me about Elliott and Phillips?
So I was not a huge fan of either of those picks. And I say that from the draft Nick side of things that I do. I thought they were both overdrafted by at least a round. That doesn't mean I think they're bad football players. I thought they were bad value where the Browns got them. Jordan Elliott has to get better at a lot of things. Specifically, he didn't have pass rush numbers, but he's a pass rushing defensive tackle. That's a little bit of an alarm bell right there. He's an odd weight, he's an odd size, and he's an odd athlete for what he was asked to do at Missouri. And thus far, it seems like the Browns have figured out a little bit better of where to use him. So that's a good thing. Phillips, when you're taking an off-the-ball linebacker, you better have a role in mind for them. Like last year, you saw, okay, Mack Wilson got taken because, okay, he's your flex guy. He can match up. He's your nickel linebacker. Taki, you're sort of your in the tackles, inside linebacker, strong side linebacker guy. You saw that. I don't know where Jacob Phillips fit because he played the mic at LSU, but when he was out, other guys did it better. The role that I think he can do is when you're playing a guy like Lamar Jackson or a Mitchell Trubisky in Chicago or Josh Allen in Buffalo. Mobile quarterbacks who like to give the threat of run, I think he can be a spy against them. He is not good enough in coverage. He's not an elite enough athlete to do a lot of the other things that we're used to seeing a guy like Joe Schobert do in the middle. He's a very different type of player. And I still want to see how it works. As far as a player value goes, I thought he was a fifth round pick. So take him in the third. That's going out on a limb a little bit. Doesn't mean it won't work.
Of reach. Yeah.
Yeah, it was. I got to be honest about that. You know, I'd love to throw the orange Kool-Aid at us, but I can't buy it on that one. And again, if he proves me wrong, awesome. Please do. Please do.
Yeah, we always want to be proved wrong when it comes to
yes,
that, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, in the fourth round, this pick I love. The Browns selected Harrison Bryant. He's been a highlight reel in training camp so far. To me, it's an exciting pick. What do you see? I mean, do you see this guy as a developmental player to replace Njoku? Or, I mean, do you think he can make an impact this year?
I think both of those, honestly. I think they took him with the intention that he will replace Njoku, but with the hope that he can push him out sooner and I will use the or instead of and there, or contribute a lot as a rookie. And I think he's done both of those things. He looks great. He is a receiving tight end extraordinaire. Don't ask him to block, and thus far it doesn't seem like they're asking him to block. He is doing the role that Irv Smith did in Minnesota last year as Stefanski's offense as a rookie tight end. I got to watch a lot of that, and if he can have that impact as a number two tight end down the road, that's great. If he can be a number one tight end and he can really impress as a receiver. He can step out. He can flex out. He can play as a wide out if you need him to, which they might need to because there's not a lot of depth at wide receiver. You could see some three tight end sets and really monkey with the defense. I kind of like that idea. I'm very, very bullish on Harrison Bryant. I like the pick a lot. And thus far, he's made it look like You know, if you switch it, if you put him in the third and Phillips in the fourth, awesome.
Okay. Well, maybe we could just pretend that happened.
Right, yeah. If that's what you got to do to sleep at night, go for it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Donovan Peoples-Jones is coming into a very talented wide receiver room. I think this is a good value pick because the roster could change as yes. contract decisions have to be made in the next few years. I see this guy as stepping up because we can't keep everybody. We have a lot of talent on this roster. I see him being a good fit. Maybe not this year as much, but in future years, he could be very good on this roster. What are your thoughts?
I agree. I think this year, I think he's the number three outside receiver, assuming the juice stays inside on that. I watched him a lot at Michigan. I live in Michigan. My wife is a Michigan fan. They have season tickets, so I end up going to a lot of Michigan games. I've seen a lot of DPJ over the years. And my line on him going into the draft, and I know some people have heard this before, if you think that the reason that he didn't develop was on him, he wasn't draftable. If you think that it was on Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan coaching staff, he was probably a second or a third round talent. I tend to lean more towards the latter because I've watched Jim Harbaugh and I don't think he knows what he's doing as a coach. Donovan Peoples, the first thing you need to know about, he is a really, really smart dude off the field. And some of that actually impacts his football. I think he thinks too much. And I think that at Michigan, they fostered that culture of wanting him to think too much. It sounds awful to say it, but he needs to just step back and play football a little bit. And I think that the Browns have a good sense of doing that. He's a very gifted athlete. He looks like he's added some muscle too. He's probably 215 right now. He is a physical monster. He is capable of doing great things. It's a matter of being able to do it on a consistent basis and finding where he can do it for you. And so far from what I've seen in camp, he's doing okay. I was hoping to see a little bit more out of him as a returner, quite honestly, but that could come. It's a great pick, sixth round pick. Absolutely, sign me up for it. I was totally on board with it then.
I was as well, and I actually skipped our fifth round pick, and I don't know how I missed him. Big boy Nick Harris.
Hey, he's having a heck of a camp, man.
He really is.
He could wind up being your starting center week one, and I dare say that we won't terribly miss J.C. Treader all that much with Nick Harris in there. Everything I've heard from everybody in Berea is that this guy gets it. He is playing very well. I think they envisioned him more as your top interior reserve this year, but if he can step up and start some games at center while Treader gets fully healthy, God, what a blessing that is as a fifth-round rookie. That's awesome. He's a perfect fit for Stefanski in that he's light. A lot of teams are going bigger at center. The fact that he can play at 293, 295 and move so well, what an awesome draft pick. What a smart fit. I love it. Love it.
I love it too. And, you know, J.C. Treader, it was just a knee scope. It wasn't anything major, right. But I think that did wonders for Nick Harris and getting the reps. And
absolutely. You know, he's not getting the preseason right. Like we talked about. He's getting those first team reps. He's going against Ogunjobi and Sheldon Richardson and guys like that in practice every day. There's no better way to learn than to be thrown in the fight. Just like with Jedrick Wills, now that you know, going against Olivier Vernon, a crafty veteran like that is awesome. Now that he's getting some dose of Myles Garrett, he's Myles freaking Garrett. There's no better testing than that. I'm very happy with the remade offensive line as a whole.
Definitely. I am too. I thought that was one of our most improved areas of the team was the offensive line. So I was glad that they focused. I mean, they had to, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, had to. You talked about a couple undrafted signings. Do you have any other undrafted signings that the fans should keep an eye on that you had
to mention? Yeah, actually, Benny LeMay, the running back, he's been better than Dearness Johnson in camp. From what I've watched on the stream, again, I'm not in Berea, so I'm not seeing that other than what we're all watching on YouTube together. I like what I see from him. He is an aggressive downhill guy. He was used to running behind treacherous offensive lines at Charlotte and still found ways to grind out yards. He's a keeper. And I'm glad that they have him. I don't know if they're going to keep four or five running backs on the active roster. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. That's more of a special teams thing, and I haven't paid attention to how he's doing on special teams, to be honest with you. But I like Benny LeMay quite a bit. I think that's a good find right there. And I will go back. I'll go back a year. Willie Harvey at linebacker. I was a fan of his last year. I'm hopeful that he can do something this year too. I hope that he steps up and seizes the opportunity that's been given to him, because that's a guy. I loved him at Iowa State. I loved him last year at Browns camp. The 6 or 7 days that I was in Berea last year, he was outplaying guys that had a lot more status than him. Let's put it that way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Overall draft grade for the Browns, what do you give them?
You know what? Because they filled needs. Again, the middle rounds were a little dicey. You know, the third round specifically. At draft time, I believe I gave them a B minus. I would say I'd bump it to a B. Now it's not the draft's fault that Grant Delpit got hurt. It was a good pick. You have to judge it on that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Browns fans, we are not used to seeing draft picks make it to their second contracts, right?
That's the truth.
That's the truth. If you had a guess, two or three players of these selections, which ones make it to their second contract? I know that's a tough one, but
it's a good question though. I think Harrison Bryant certainly will, just because he's, as a fourth round pick, he's a year accelerated on that. I can't imagine Wills not getting a second contract. There are some terrible first round offensive linemen who wind up getting. Heck, Roderick Johnson has been signed three times. We saw what he was. He's a fifth round pick, right? Cam Irvin started in the Super Bowl. first round offensive linemen get second, third, and fourth chances. So I would assume that unless he's terrible, he will get a second contract in Cleveland. If not, it'll be somewhere else. I think Nick Harris is a pretty safe bet. Beyond that, Delpit, as long as he's healthy, he's a safe bet for it. You know, again, we're assuming development there. It would be great if Jacob Phillips proved that he was worth it. It would be great if Jordan Elliott does, but they're going to have to prove it to me first. Peoples Jones, sixth round wide receivers there's a less than 30% hit rate. And he's competing with another one of Damian Ratley. And I think one of those two will stick long-term and one of them won't. And we'll have to see who winds up being the odd man out there.
Well, hey, if we get half of them to stick to second contract, I mean, you're doing something. You look at this list, and you can make an argument for either side that, hey, I can see all these guys making their second contract, but that's probably not realistic.
It is unrealistic. You know, weird things happen. Players develop, players don't. They stagnate. They're not good system fits. God willing, there's no system turnover in Cleveland, but a guy like Harrison Bryant is not going to fit in every scheme. If you bring in, let's say, I won't even say it. Let's just say if there's a coaching change in 2023, and the new team doesn't value receiving tight ends that can't block the way Harrison Bryant is, weird things happen like that. We know that as Clevelanders.
Well, friend, we are, we're 3 weeks away, right, from football. Can you believe that?
I cannot wait. I can't wait. I'm an NBA fan, I wish the Cavs were there. I wish the Cavs were playing. It's been nice, but, man, I miss football. And with no college football, I live in Michigan. We'd have no high school football here either. It's killing me. I can't wait to watch football again. Like Cleveland against Las Vegas, Cleveland against Pittsburgh, Cleveland against Baltimore. I want it. I need it. Give it to me.
We all need it, man. We need normalcy back in our life, for crying out loud.
Amen to that.
Well, Jeff, this has been a pleasure, man. I really thank you for coming on the show. You have given us some great insight into our football team. Where can the listeners find you?
Yeah, sure. You can get me on Twitter at Jeff Risdon. It's RISDON, capitalize the J and the R, and you're good. I try to be as responsive as possible. I will admit to not being online as much as I have been in the past. I don't do politics, and I don't do various other things. So I'm on there less, and I would encourage people who don't do that to also be on there less for your own state of mind. You can find my writings. I write every day a lot at Browns Wire at USA Today. If you use the app, it tends to be a little bit easier, but it is also desktop friendly. If you care about some of the things that I do write for Real GM as well. That's more of a general NFL thing. I put something up today. That's a broader thing. It's footballrealgm.com, and I appreciate people checking that out. I think I have a lot of fun with it. I also put a lot of NFL draft stuff there. So if you're into the draft, it's draft season already with guys opting out, so we got some stuff rolling.
Well, I look forward to following all your work on Browns Wire, and man, maybe we could do this again when the football season starts and actually talk about game action and how.
Oh man, I would love to do a recap and a preview with you, man. That sounds like fun.
Let's do it. Well, hey Jeff, you have a great week, and we'll see you next time. And for thanks all so the much. Listeners, thank you for listening to the Browns Huddle podcast. I will see you next week.